Wonderful. Thank you, John. That was beautiful. Eugene Peterson said, become a part of a small church, for it is there that you can have the greatest impact. Will you join me now in a moment of prayer? Loving Spirit of wonder, joy, life, and motion. Spirit of wisdom, one who calls to us, put out our nets in deeper places, who calls us to go deeper in our search. Inspire us to be ever attentive to your voice, your call. Help us to make good choices in life, to follow you, to follow in your way, to always take the next best step toward you. Inspire us to live life ever nearer to our best self, our true life, the life that wants to live in us. Your many holy names we pray. Amen. We all make big choices in life, to do this or to do that. Sometimes we know that we need to go another way, but which way? This way or that way? We all make choices in the course of our days, many of them small and with seemingly insignificant consequences, and yet every choice leads us onward, moves us forward in life, and does much in determining our direction in life, each step of the way. The act of making a choice, no matter how long we have pondered it, is usually done and over in a moment. And what matters most is what carries the most weight, and that's the consequences of those choices that we make. To drink or not to drink? Caramel macchiato or latte? Stay with this person in a relationship of confusion and pain, or seek greater peace alone? Continue your current career path, or suddenly pursue a different occupation or vocation? The difference between an occupation and a vocation? Well, I think an occupation is something that occupies us. A vocation, however, the word is rooted in the Latin for voice. It is a calling, a voice that comes not from outside of ourselves, but from within. We all make choices, and sometimes those choices make us. Have you ever made a career change? I mean, a really big one. It's a little scary, isn't it? Well, it's real scary. It sometimes feels like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. A part of us is likely searching for any little similarity between the work that we're familiar with, the work where we know all the ropes, and the new work, which we really have no idea about. And we have very little to hold on to until we make that jump. Yes, making a career change is a very, very big deal. Now, I've done a lot of different things in my life. And I have to say that being the part-time pastor of a church with a facility, I have gained an unexpected familiarity with alarm systems. Industrial smoke detectors, heavy-duty heating and cooling systems, plumbing, electrical systems, piano tuning, industrial flooring requirements, and the unexpected appearances of hydrostatic pressure. That's a leak. All with surprising variety, subjects never taught in a seminary. And all pretty much falling into the job description category of any other tasks and duties has assigned. Now, reflecting back, most of my career, my life has balanced on the fine points of a few small decisions about some very great things. I call them fulcrum moments, places in my life when one small choice, a small moment, seemingly moved a mountain in my life and changed everything. Archimedes, the ancient Greek mathematician and physicist and engineer, said, "You give me a lever, a fulcrum, and a place to stand, and I shall move the world." Some little moments are like that. They will move your entire world. We make choices, and sometimes those choices make us. Simon had just such a choice, just such a decision in front of him. What a huge career change from the known and the familiar to the unknown, from a definite array of known consequences to a series of nearly infinite impossibilities, from a place of comfort to a place of, well, who knows. For all of them, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, OMG, did they really know what they were getting themselves into? I mean, really? Just like some of us, when we take a new job and we really don't think about that little phrase, "and any other tasks and duties has assigned." Did they think about their qualifications? What kind of qualifications did they possess to go down in history with names that echo now with saintly devotion in religious communities? What was it about them that drew Jesus to them? And what was it about Jesus that drew him to them? Did they believe that this was going to be an easier living? Did they think, wow, sounds like it sure beats fishing? Did they not know what they had gotten into until they had gotten into it? So many times that's happened to me. Now, Jesus did give them the fine print later. Spoiler, it doesn't end well. Now, Jesus was a rabbi, and as you know, the word rabbi means teacher. Jesus was a teacher in the wisdom tradition. When it comes down to it, that was his occupation, his calling, and his vocation. That's what he did for a living. And it was common in those days for wisdom rabbis to seek disciples, students that followed their teachings. Now, there were many wisdom rabbis, Baal Shem Tov, Rambam, Zakkai, Rashi, and even around the time of Jesus, Hillel and Shammai. In fact, it is believed in some circles that Jesus may have been a student, a disciple of a rabbi called Hillel. In any case, most wisdom rabbis had disciples, but my guess is this, that they at least required an MDiv, a Master's of Divinity, you know, some kind of background, a good solid foundation in theology. They needed their followers to be of a certain sort and at a certain level, a certain type, perhaps scribes themselves and a part of the religious system, speaking the same language so that they could teach others who were like themselves. People who were properly groomed, perhaps even with very soft hands and soft feet, far better with their minds than they were with their muscles. But these guys that Jesus picked up, they were laborers. They were workers, and they were hard workers. Fishing was not some lofty occupation. Oh, it was respectable. I mean, it's not like they were tax collectors or anything. But they smelled like fish.
So long.
And their fortunes were as fickle as the weather, and their earnings came and went with the tides. Simon, his brother Andrew, and James and John, they might not be able to find their way through a synagogue, but I'm betting they could mend a net with their eyes closed. They had a different set of skills. Now, this career change presented to them represented a huge opportunity for them. to follow a teacher? It was likely something that no one of their station in life was ever asked to do. Ever. I can't even begin to tell you how unusual it was against all concepts of what was the accepted practice at that time, against conventional thought. It's hard for us to even imagine the leap that Jesus was offering, and almost certainly none of them realized, not even in their wildest dreams, what kind of life and what kind of adventure awaited them. This kind of midlife career change from fisher to the disciple of a wisdom rabbi was huge, and it was scary. And at the same time, this wandering itinerant rabbi called Yeshua, whom we call Jesus, was doing something very different as well. He was recruiting outsiders. He was recruiting outsiders, people who may never have touched the Torah, the scrolls in their lives, seeking followers from outside the circle, from outside the margins of what would have been the religious establishment at that time. Perhaps people not unlike us. Joseph Campbell said, "We must let go of the life we have planned so as to accept the life that is waiting for us. We must let go of the life we have planned so as to accept the life that is waiting for us." I think we, in the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, intersex, queer, and questioning communities, have a good idea of what that really means. Letting go of one life, one set of plans, one set of dreams and expectations, and reaching for another that's vastly different. Letting go of a known set of quantities and a way of life that we know only by experience to answer a greater calling, to answer the call and the longing of who we are attracted to, whom we desire, to move against the flow of society, against generally accepted practices and traditions, or to answer the call of our gender, our identity in life, against the flow of generally accepted practices and conventions, against what our parents told us, and in the context of our society, even against what our bodies have told us. Listening only to the still, small voice within us. Not to the voices outside of us, but to the voices within us. The calling, calling us out to live the life that wants to live, that's in us. Simon had just such a decision in front of him, a big decision, a huge change in life, from a life he knew to a life he knew nothing of. From a life with a familiar routine, which made it comfortable because it was all he knew, to things that were, well, the unknown. Filled with potential and possibility. What a career change. Sometimes we have to leave that which we know by heart in order to follow our heart. Fish. Or cut bait, fish, or follow this strange teacher, fish, or follow. Simon confessed his weaknesses. He acknowledged his true self. We cannot lie to ourselves. We have to be truthful to ourselves before we can be truthful to anyone else. He acknowledged his true self, and our true self is all of who we are. It's all of who we are. Don't think that you can fool yourself. You can't fool a fool. Got to think about that one. We have to face who we are, our strengths and our weaknesses, our good and our less than good, our brightness, the illumination that we bring to the world, as well as our shadow. We have to face them all. And we have to be honest with ourselves, our good steps and our missteps. This is who I am. And the easiest way to do that without listing each and every shortcoming one by one, which can sometimes be tiring, is simply to say, I am a sinner. Many of us have been conditioned to think that sin is one thing and one thing only. It is not. The literal meaning of the original word used is, I have missed the mark. I have missed the mark. That's what it means. And yes, Simon was afraid. Fear is a normal human response, and sometimes it's a good thing when it helps to keep us alive, but it can also keep us from living. Fear has killed so many great adventures. Has it killed yours? But Jesus says the words that echo through the Bible, spoken from Yahweh, God Almighty, God's messengers, God's prophets. The phrase has become a part of my life. It's on my mother's tombstone. Be not afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear is good when it helps keep us alive, but don't let it keep you from living. Jesus said, don't be afraid. And he gave Simon a similarity, taking what Simon learned in one field and offering a fresh way to apply it. Fish. Let's go fishing, Simon. Let's go fishing for people, human souls. Simon had found a new calling, a new vocation, and someone to follow, fishing for people. Who are you following? What star are you following this Epiphany season? Who and what are the stars in your night skies of wandering? What are you meant to do, and who are you meant to be? You made a lot of choices this morning. What to wear, what to do. Most people chose wisely. And all of your choices led you here to be in this community. And like fish caught in a net, you can never predict your catch. I promise you that. You can never determine what type of fish you catch. That is not yours to determine. And there are so many different kinds of us here in this net that was cast out so long ago by those who fished for people. You made the choice that brought you here in community to ponder some of life's greatest questions together with others. Simply sitting here in community with other seekers shows us that we are not alone and gives us strength and security on the journey as we ponder life's big and great questions and sort out our own direction in life. Whenever people come to me sometime with a lack of direction, my first question is, when did you stop going to church? You've heard me say that. In the course of life, when one's life wanderings seem directionless, what star do you follow? Whom do you follow? And know that community, church, can be a bright star to guide your journey by. What if Jesus asked others there? Surely he did. Others whose names are now lost to history. And what of you? Had you been there? Well, you're here now. Will you answer the call? Will you answer the voice within? No matter what choices you face, will you follow the call? Will you make the journey and take the next best step to your true self and to your greatest potential? May that be so.